Be'ezras Hashem b'li neder. Let's finish Shas together. This morning's learning is dedicated to the Nishmas of Yimori, Rav David Tzvi ben Rav Yosef, as well as for a continued full shleim of Rav Meir ben Mendel. Today's daf, Subas daf Ayin Hey. We left off at the very top of Ayin Hey, Amud Aleph, at the words Rabbi Meir Omer. Basically, at the end of yesterday's daf, we had presented a dispute between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Elazar to answer up a contradiction that we had in Bryce's. In one place, basically the contradiction was between, let's say, if a man marries a woman on the condition that she has no nedarim on her, and then we find that she has the darim on her, so we originally had said that the Mishnah says she's not Mekudeshes. But then the question became, what about if she goes to a Chacham, and a Chacham is Matur the Nadar? So, in that case, we had a contradiction. So, one Brisa said, Holcha Eitzel Chacham V'Yitira is Mekudeshes. And another Brisa said, Eitzel Chacham V'Yitira is Eina Mekudeshes. So Rava said, one is Rabbi Meir and one is Rabbi Elazar. And what does that depend on? Whether or not we say, Adam rotze shetisbaza ishto bebezdin. Does a person want his wife to be embarrassed by having to go to Bezdin to be matir the neder? So then we went off on a little bit of a side point. So in today's daf, we're going to come back to begin with exactly this point about where was this machlokas between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Elazar about whether or not Adam rotze shetisbaza ishto bebezdin, where does that come from? So that's what we're up to right now. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Meir Omer, that's what we're up to. Rabbi Meir Omer. See where we are? On the fourth line, last word line is Rabbi Meir. Says the Gemara. Rabbi Meir Omer, kol neder shetzar chakiras chacham lo yachzir. We had quoted these opinions of Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Elazar by a different case. By a case of where a man divorces his wife because she's taking a lot of nedarim. It's a little bit of a different case. The woman's taking a lot of nedarim and the man can't live with her. So he divorces her. So the question is he allowed to remarry her? So Rabbi Meir said, it depends what kind of nedarim that she did. If she took a neder that requires a chacham to be matir, then he can't marry her back again. But if it's a neder that does not require a chacham, like nedar misha beino lebeina, or nidre inu nefesh, then he is allowed to remarry her. And Rabbi Elazar says, no, they asered the nedarim that need a chacham because of nedarim that don't need a chacham. That's what we said yesterday. So now the Gemara is going to return to that and try to explain how the whole machlokas works. So let's see. It says the Gemara, Rabbi Meir Omer, was Rabbi Meir Shita, kol neder shetzara chakiras chacham, lo yachzir. Rabbi Elazar Omer, lo asru tzarech, they only forbade you a neder that needs a chakiras chacham, el mepnei she'en tzarech, because of the nedarim that don't need a chakiras chacham, that the husband himself can get rid of, says the Gemara, b'may kamifugi. What are they arguing about? Us, this is exactly what we said yesterday to answer the steer in Bryce's. Rabbi Meir, savar adam rotze shetisbaza ishto bebezdin. Rabbi Meir holds that a person is willing to have his wife embarrassed by going to a chacham to be matir the neder. So what we're afraid of as follows. A guy divorces his wife. We're afraid a guy divorces his wife because she has a lot of nedarim on her. Then what's going to happen? She's going to go marry somebody else. But we're afraid of the fact that if we let her go marry somebody else, then let's say she goes to a chacham to be matir the nedarim. Oh, and then the husband says, oh, you went to the chacham to be matir the nedarim? Adam rosha shetisbaza ishto bebezdin. The husband considered that possibility. So what's going to happen now? Great, you went to be matir in the Dharma. The first husband's going to say, had I known that you were going to go be matir in the Dharma, I never would have divorced you in the first place. Uh-oh, what's going to happen then? So now it's going to turn out she was never really divorced. because the divorce was a mekach tos. He only divorced her because she had the nadarm on her. Had he known that she was going to go to a chacham imadam, he never would have wanted to divorce her. And it turns out that her kids from the second husband are going to be mamzerim, because she was never really divorced. She went and got married somebody else. So that's why we say Rav Meir says, lo yachzir. We tell him, if you're divorcing your wife because of nadarim, you may not marry her back again. And that's predicated on the assumption that Adam rotza shetizbazi ish to bebezdin. The husband knows that the husband's not upset. He's okay with his wife going to Bezdin to be mad in the dark. If he's okay with that, we're afraid that he's going to say, I never would have wanted to divorce you in the first place. That's Rabbi Meir. However, Rabbi Elazar Savar, Rabbi Elazar says, Ein Adam rotza shetizbazi ish to bebezdin. No. A person, the husband is not considering the possibility that his wife is going to go to Bezdin to be matan in the dark. That's not the problem at all. The only reason we assered, we said lo yachzer, he's not allowed to remarry his wife in the case of where it was a neder that needs a chakiras chacham, is because of the neder that does not need a chakiras chacham. Namely, we're afraid of a different thing. We're afraid he's going to say, I didn't realize that I could have gotten rid of the nedarim. We're not afraid that he's going to say, I didn't realize that Bezdin could have been mat in the Dharm. We're afraid he's going to say, I didn't realize that it's a nether. It's a nether of Inui Nefesh, or a nether Shebeinu Lebeinu, that the husband himself has the ability to get rid of it. But we're afraid, the reason why he's not allowed to remarry his wife that he divorced because of Nedarim, the reason why he's not allowed to remarry her, is because we're afraid it's going to be Nedarim Shebeinu Lebeinu, or Nidra Ina Nefesh, that he really could have got rid of them. And we're afraid he's going to say, if we let him remarry her, he's going to say, oh, if I only knew that I could have got rid of this nether, I never would have divorced you. And we even forbid other nedarim of where Chacham can do it atu these nedarim. Once we say by these nedarim, he can't marry her back. So we also say by those nedarim. But in reality, Rabbi Elazar holds, Ein Adam Rotza Shetizbazi Ish Bezdin. He wasn't considering our option of her going to Bezdin. The man doesn't want his wife to go be Mavaza herself in Bezdin. He wasn't considering that option. So here you see the Machlokas, Rav Meir and Rabbi Elazar, whether Adam wrote such a Tispazi Isha Bezdin, and that's the answer to the Stira that we said yesterday of the two Brises. One of them said if a man marries a woman who has the Dharm on her, so it is a good marriage, and one of them says it's not a good marriage. So that was the first answer, which yesterday was given by Rava. First answer to the Gemara was Rava. Harameraban. So now we're going to go to the second answer. The second answer says the Gemara. Hold on. Well, that was Rava. Wait a minute. So yesterday said Rava. Hold on. Yesterday's Gemara said Rava. Sarach Lomar Rava. Okay, that was the problem. Yeah. It said Rava, but the Mefarshim say it has to be Rava because the second answer is Rava. So the first answer couldn't have been Rava. Okay, anyway. So the first answer, it said Rava, but it was really Rava. Now we're going to give Rava's answer. That's really Rava's answer. Rava, again, what are we trying to answer here? There was a stira. One Bryce said, if a man marries a woman and she has almanas, she has no nadarm on her, and she has nadarm on her, it is a good marriage. But he could divorce her. Other one says, it's not a good marriage. It's a mekachtos. What's the enough? So the first answer we gave is, one opinion holds, Adam rotza shetizbazi ish to bebezdin, and one opinion holds, again, I'm sorry. What one opinion said, again, the case was like this. A man marries a girl on the condition that she doesn't have nadarim, and then it turns out she has nadarim, but then she goes to a chacham and she's matan the nadarim. So what's the halacha? Do we say the marriage is not a good marriage, or the marriage is a good marriage? So the first answer we gave is machol or meir ozer, whether or not adam rotza shetizbazi ishto bebezdin. So if a person is willing to have his wife be mevaza bezdin, then it is a good marriage. If the person is not willing to have his wife go to Bezdin, then it's not a good marriage. It's a mekach tos. Rav Amar, no, it's a different issue. Hacha b'isha chashuva askinah. Here we're talking about a woman who comes from a very chashuva family. De Amar lo nichali de'itzav krovasah. He does not want to divorce her because if he divorces her, he won't be able to marry her sister or her mother. And it's a chashuva family. He doesn't want all these women off limits to him. So that's why he'd rather say that the marriage is not a good marriage in the first place. If she goes to a chacham, so he's not willing, so the whole marriage is uprooted l'chatchila. It's a mekach tos. Because he doesn't want the marriage to be a good marriage, because now she has these nedarim on her, even if she goes to a chacham to be mata them, so he's going to have to divorce her, and by divorcing her, she doesn't. He's going to be usher and all of her krovim. Ask the Gemara, ihachi seifa. What about the end of this price? Diktani aval hu shehalach etzel chacham v'hi tiro. Let's say a man marries a girl on the condition that he doesn't have any nadarim, and it turns out that he does have nadarim, and then he goes to a chacham to be mata them, etzel rofe v'riposa, or he marries a woman on a condition that he has no mumen, and it turns out that he has a mum, and he goes to a doctor, mikudeshes. There, both by nadarim and by mumen, it is a good marriage. Wait a second. Why don't we say the same thing? Listen, eina mikudeshes. Really, the brisa should say, eina mikudeshes, because if it's talking about where she comes from a chashav family, we should say this case is where he comes from a chashav family. V'leima ha'chabadam chashav askinan, damra lo nichali d'itzav ekrevei. We should say the same thing. It's eina mikudeshes because she doesn't want to be asur in his krovin. Answers the Gemara, she doesn't care. She doesn't care. Women aren't makbid that they are allowed, that they be allowed to marry chashuva families. E, b'chol dehu nichale. She doesn't need a chashuva family to marry, so she doesn't care if she's going to be usher in his krovin. Kidereish lakish, like the famous din of Reish Lakish, Tam Reish Lakish, Tav lemeisav tandu, milemeisav armilu, that women are happy to be married to anyone, just to have two bodies, rather than being alone. So she's not going to be so makbid that she can't marry the chash of the family. And therefore, it could be, and therefore it's mikudeshes. Even with a guy who has nadarim on him, and even if he comes from a chash of a family, we're not worried that he's going to then divorce her and she's going to be us in the family in the krovim, because she's just happy. She doesn't mind being asher in his krovim who are chash of a family, because she doesn't need a chash of a husband. And now the Gemara gives a few other examples of this. Abaya Omar Dishum Shimana Gavra Kurse Becharata Ramila. Someone who has a husband who is as small as an ant. He's very short. Nevertheless, she puts her seat among the chashava women. She's proud and excited to be married to this guy, even though he's very, very short. Because Tav L'Meisav Tandurav. Papa Omar, Dinapsa Gavra, a woman who has a husband who cleans wool for a living. He has a very lowly, smelly occupation. He cleans the wool, or he combs out the wool. Tiakre B'Seifi Baba V'Tesin. She calls her husband to sit up with her, with the chashava married women, because she's just happy that she's married. She doesn't marry. She doesn't mind that he's got a lowly profession, that her husband is a garbage man. Rav Ashi Omar, Tikalsa Gavra, Lo Boy Tilafche Lekidra, a woman whose husband, there's bad rumors about her husband. Her husband comes from a family that there were bad rumors about. She doesn't care. She doesn't even need lentils for her pot. She'll go even without lentils. She's just happy to be married to the guy. And the Gemara says a little bit of a strange, divergent opinion at the end. Tana we learned in the Braisa, v'kulon mizanos v'tolos v'ba'alein. All these women who are married to these lo yislach kind of a husbands, so it's true that they're happy to be married to those lo yislach husbands, but the Gemara here says, the Braisa says, that the reason why they're happy to be married to the lo yislach husband is because the husband gives her a cover that when she commits adultery on him, and is leaving him, so at least she could say, oh, the baby that I'm having, it's from him. It's from this lo yitzlik. She's mizana with these young, dashing, good-looking guys, but she says, oh, the kid that I'm having, it's from him. So that's not the whole story, the Gemara says, that she just wants to be married to the guy. This price says, yeah, she wants to be married to him, but not for the right reasons, because this lo yitzlik husband is going to cover for her when she's mizana with the other husband. So that gives
us. Did
we have it to Nivamos? Yeah. Tav L'Meisav Tandu, we had Nivamos. Yeah, that women always want to be married even to anybody. Yes.
Rabbeinu Mechila, we also had in Gemara Mevaz and Nivamos earlier in Ksubis that a person should not marry a woman who's, let's say, on a higher social stature.
Yeah. We actually had that also in yesterday's daf. That that or 2 days ago, where if Bezin's going to recommend to somebody to get out of the marriage by Yibum, right? We're going to recommend that Yibum have. I mean, how do you trick a guy into doing Chalitza when he really wants to do Yibum? So the Mefarshim say it's because she's a Zakena and he's a Bachar, something like that. That's one of the reasons why we would convince a person out of doing Yibum. Yeah, excellent. Yeah, very important Gemara. Right. Now, we learned in the Mishnah, Kol Mumin Sheposlin B'Kohanim Poslin B'Noshim. Any mum that disqualifies a Kohen from doing the Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash, also it's grounds for divorce if he marries a girl on the condition that she doesn't have mumin and she has the mumin. It's grounds for divorce. Tana, Hosifu Aleim. There are some mumin that only disqualify a woman and don't disqualify a Kohen. Hosifu Aleim Zeya, a woman who sweats profusely. Vishuma, she has like a big wart or some kind of a facial wound or a wart. What do they say there?
Mole.
Thank you, M-O-L-E, a mole. V're'ach ha-peh, or she has excessively bad breath. Says Gemara, v'hani v'kana lo pasle. These women are only puzzled by a woman that their grounds for divorce. I shouldn't say grounds for divorce. They're grounds that disqualify the marriage. Milechad chila. It's a mekach tos. But they don't disqualify a kohen from doing an avoda. V'hatanan, didn't we learn in the Mishnah, in Bechoros, hazakein, v'achola, v'hamezuam, that these mumen disqualify animals. If the animal, for a carbon, if the animal is very old, or the animal is very sick, or the animal mizuham. Mizuham means the animal sweats a lot. It's smelly because it's always sweating. Utnan, mumin elu, bein kvuin, ubein overin, psulin be'adam. Whether these are permanent mumin or even temporary mumin, not only do they disqualify an animal as a mum, but it also disqualifies a kohen. Can't do an avoda. And one of these three is sweaty. So what are you telling me? Sweat is only a psul by a woman, and it's not a psul by a person. What is talking about where the person sweats all the time? So a mezuham is somebody who sweats all the time. It's eno overis, zeish overis. That disqualifies you even by a kohen doing the avoda. But by the woman, that she's not disqualified. I'm sorry. I said it the wrong way. Kan b'zei overis. Right. The mezuham that disqualifies a kohen, that's the sweat that's all the time. But a mezuham that does not disqualify a kohen, that's if he sweats profusely from time to time, but he's not sweating all the time, so whenever he's not sweating, he can do the avoda. If he is sweating profusely, then he can't do it. But at the time that it's zeya overis, it's not all the time. So that's one answer. Ravashi Amar, zeya amezuham karam is, one is zeya, one is mezuham. Zeya and Mizum are not exactly the same thing. Hasam lagabe kohanim efshel avra b'kiyua dechamra. The zeya, it's possible to get rid of it if the kohen would put on some like vinegar, a type of, or a wine, a spicy wine or a fermented wine. He could put some of that on him and get rid of the Zeya. And he could do the Avoda. And even with the bad breath, he can get rid of the bad breath by putting some pepper in his mouth. And doing the Avoda that way, so he won't have the bad smell. But by a woman, lo efshir, well, what are you going to make this woman every second? She's going to be putting pepper in her mouth, or every second she's going to have to put on this wine to get rid of the smell, and therefore there's no option to get rid of it. Now, so the Ritva says in this Gemara, he proves that you see from here that any time, any mum, this is very interesting. So if the Kohen were to do avoda while he's sweating, that's considered to be a mum. But if he puts on the deodorant before he goes into the avoda, so you see from here that a mum that's only a mum sometimes, is not considered to be a mum if you can get rid of it for the avoda. Even though, had he not gotten rid of it, it would be us to do the avoda. But if he gets rid of this, so it's considered to be good. I was listening yesterday. Rabbi Rosner quoted that Rabbi Yosef Engel asked Akash on the Gemara over here. He says, wait a second, how could you bring, if the Gemara seems to say that the Kohen who has bad breath would put pepper in his mouth and do the avoda while he had the pepper in his mouth. The question is, isn't that a problem of bringing chulin la'azara? Pepper is not, it's not kachim. It's how can you bring it into the Beis HaMikdash? Rabbi Yosef Engel is nisher b'tzarech iyun. So others want to say, maybe this depends on a machlokas rishonim, because Tosfos and the Rashba hold that the Isser of Chulin Ba'azara only applies to an animal that could have been brought as a carbon, and it's a non-carbon, and you bring that into the Azara. But let's say you bring a chair into the Beis HaMikdash. Is that a problem of bringing Chulin La'azara? So the Rashba and Tosfos seem to say that that's not a problem, because it's only a Davar Roilios carbon. Only saying that could have been a carbon, so you can bring it to, if you bring that and it's not a carbon, you take a sheep that's not a carbon, bring it into the Beis HaMikdash, that's a problem with Chulin Lazar. But bringing a chair, Tosfos and the Rashba say, is not a problem with Chulin Lazar. A chair couldn't be a carbon in the first place. But the Rambam seems to say, there's a very, very long Mishnah LaMelech where he discusses the Shittas of Rambam. The Rambam says, Chulin Lazar applies to animals or bread or fruit. So some want to say, the Rambam seems to say, even things that can't be carbonas. But the Mishnah Melech says, no, maybe the Rambam also agrees, because bread can be a carbon mincha, and fruit could be bikurim. So why the Rambam give the examples of bread and fruit? Maybe the Rambam also holds that a chair would not be chulin lazar. So that's a discussion b'das Rambam. But that seems to be a machlokas. So maybe you can say, with the pilpulin, pepper can't be a carbon, it's not part of any carbon, so maybe there wouldn't be a problem chulin lazara bring carbon. Or maybe you could say, others say no, maybe it means he put the pepper in his mouth before doing that avoda, that got rid of the pad, and then he walked in. But it's not in the simple reading of the, what does it say? Denaka pilpulin pumi v'avad avoda. It sounds like he did the avoda while the pepper was in his mouth. But you could read it to me, no, he put the pepper in his mouth, got rid of the bad smell, took the pepper out of his mouth, and then he went and did the avoda without the pepper in his mouth.
But if he had the pepper in his mouth before he entered the Azara, is there any question that, because once it's in his mouth, it's not carrying it or anything. I mean, if you have food in your mouth left over from a Suda, and then you go to Shul on Shabbos, you're not carrying because it's in your mouth.
I think it is carrying. It's still in your mouth. That's still carrying. Carrying something in your mouth is called carrying also. I think so. And if it's in your mouth, yeah, it's chulin lazara. I think it is a problem. Says the Gemara. Hai shumei yechidami. What kind of a mole that disqualifies, that are grounds for divorcing the wife, if you marry her on the condition that she doesn't have a mum, and she ends up having a mole? What kind of mole are we talking about? Eat ispes seyar. If it's a mole that has hair in it, hachabachapasa, that's usher for a woman, and it also disqualifies a kohen, as we'll see. Vidalo ispaseyar, now, if it doesn't have hair in it, ishum gadolahi, if it's a very large mole, hachabachapasa, it disqualifies a kohen and a woman. Vishum gtani, if it's a small mole, hachabachalopasa, it doesn't disqualify a kohen, and does not disqualify a woman also. The sani, we learned in the braisa. Shuma sheyesh paseyar, if you have a mole that has hair in it, hareze mum. Ein baseir, if it doesn't have hair in it, so then gedola hareze mum. It's a mum for a coin. Katana ain't a mum. The ezui gedola pishim shem gamliel ad kisar itaki, the size of an Italian iser. Am Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina, the Gemara answers, but omedas al padachta. It's on her forehead. Says Gemara, padachta? Rav and afaisu. So the husband saw it when they got married. So he obviously agreed to it. Am Rabbi Papa, but omedas la tachas kapa shorosha. It's under where she puts her kerchief. Sometimes you see it, sometimes you don't see it. The Rishonim and Medayik from here, let's say you're selling a person the car, and there has a mum that sometimes you see, and sometimes you don't see, so then the guy, the buyer can claim, I didn't see it, right? Something that sometimes you see, sometimes you don't see, so the buyer is allowed to claim, so I didn't see it. I'm Rav Chista. I heard this thing from a great man, and it's Rabbi Shela. Nashcha kelev v'nasa mekomo tzalekas. If a woman got bitten by a dog and there's a remnant even after it heals, it still there's a mark there. Harezem mum. That's considered to be a mum because it's embarrassing to the woman. Amar Chista, kol ava beish harezem mum. If the woman has a deep, thick voice, that's considered to be a mum that disqualifies her. Shneamar ki kolech harevim arech navet. That the woman's voice is supposed to be sweet. Tani Rabbi Nelson Bira, bein dade isha tefach. If in between a woman's breasts there's a tefach, so that's a mum. Savravach abrei derava kamei deravashi lemeimar, tefach lamal yusa. That no, a tefach is not a mum, it's the way it's supposed to be. Amravashi, kami mum betanya. No, that's considered to be a mum. The kama, how much is it supposed to be? Amrabai, shalosh etzbos. Should just be three etzbos. That's considered to be a mum. If it's a tefach, it's a mum. If her breasts are larger than, way larger than her friends, if it's too large, either larger than her friends or one breast is larger than the other one. How large? Tefach. If it's one tefach larger than the standard. Ask the Gemara, is that such a thing? Is that a thing? Is this such a thing? In says Gemara, yes. I saw an Arab woman, Achas, that the breast was so large that she was able to nurse the baby that was on her back. It was so big it could even stretch to the back. Says the Gemara, once we have something from Rabbi Meisha, the grandson of Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi, we say another thing. Ulitzion Yeomer. Ish v'ish yulad ba v'hu yichonaneh el yon. About Tzion, it was said that both this man and another man born are that, and that's going to be, you can be considered to be a resident. I'm Rav Meisha Barberei to Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Rav Meisha, the grandson of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, said echad hanolad ba, the people who are considered to be b'nei Tzion are both if you were born in Israel, the echad hametzapa lerosa, and even if you're hoping to see Tzion, you're hoping to live there. Someone who's hoping to live in Israel is considered to be also a Ben Eretz Yisrael, a Ben Sion. Echad hanolad ba, both of you are born there. Echad hametzapa lerosa. There's a lot of discussion in the Mefarshim. We don't really have time to talk about it right now. Some say the Mashiach's going to come when people are going to consider the land of Israel like their homeland. Even though they don't live there, but they consider it as if their homeland. Amar Abai, chad minay u'adif k'trei minon. V'chad minay u'adif k'trei minon. Abai says, one Torah scholar from Eretz Yisrael is as good as two Torah scholars from Bavel. Why is that? Because Avir de Eretz Yisrael Machkim, the air in the land of Israel, causes you to be smarter. That's Gemara in Bava Basra, Kuf Nun Ches. So says the Ritva. Amar Rava, V'chad Minon Kisal Glasim, but Rava says, if one Ben Bavel makes Aliyah, Odev Ketrei Minayu, he's better than even two Chachmei Eretz Yisrael. Why is that? Because the people in Bavel were more sharp, and the people in Eretz Yisrael had the Avir de Eretz Yisrael Machkim. So if a Bavel guy went up to Eretz Yisrael, he's got both things. He's both got the sharpness, and he's got the Avir de Eretz Yisrael Machkim. So when a guy from Bavel makes Aliyah, he's as strong as two people in Eretz Yisrael. So Rabbi Rasner quoted, why are the B'nai Eretz Yisrael twice as good in learning as the one in B'nai Bavel? Because he says, because of Haraya, that in Eretz Yisrael is only one day Yontif, and in Bavel is 2 day Yontif. So you see that, you can see that you can accomplish in Eretz Yisrael in 1 day what you can accomplish in Bavel in 2 days. It's a funny thing. Amar Rava, I think he quoted from the Ben Yoyada, the Mefarish on the Agadah, who says that. Rabbi, how do we know that when a Ben Bavel makes Aliyah, he becomes twice as good as the Ben Eretz Yisrael? When Rabbi Yirmiyah was here in Bavel, he didn't even understand some basic things. He used to ask a lot of questions. But when he went up to Eretz Yisrael, he would call us the foolish Babylonians who don't know anything. So you see, he became much better in learning once he made Aliyah. Okay, new Mishnah. Says the Mishnah. Hayuba mumin v'oda b'beis avia. If the woman has a mumin, they got engaged and she has mumin and she's still in her father's house. They didn't get married yet. and the father's claiming that she had this woman, these women before she was engaged, and it's not a mekach tos. Tzarech lahavi raya shemisha nisarsa hayuba mumin halalu. So ha'av tzarech lahavi raya shemisha nisarsa hayuba mumin halalu. That the father has, right, the husband's claiming, oh, you didn't tell me about these women, they were there before you were married. The father's saying, no, at the time you married her, she didn't have the woman. She had the woman after the engagement. So if she's still in the father's house, the father has to bring a proof that the woman happened after the engagement. V'nistachva sadeo, and it's just the husband's bad luck. But nichnas alushas habal, once they get married and she's living by the husband, and then all of a sudden the husband discovers she has mumin. Then the husband has to prove that the mumin happened from before the marriage. Because once you got married, you should have seen them. So the husband has to prove that and it was a mechatos. Divi Rabbi Meir. That's only in hidden mumin. Aval mumin shebegaloi, but mumin that are out in the open, eino yochel liton. The husband can't claim that they happened beforehand, because he should have seen them. If they were there beforehand, he would have he saw them and he accepted them. Then yesh merchatz posa here. If there's a bathhouse and all the women go to the bathhouse together, even private moment, let's say that we're in a private area, all the women of the town would have seen. He would have checked with his relatives. He can't claim that she had the mum, because even if she had the mum, he would have known about it because she went to the bathhouse and people saw it. Says the Gemara. Now we're going to go all the way back to the first parak. We had a machlokas Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua about if a man found that the woman wasn't a basula. She says it happened afterwards, and he says no. It happened before it. So Rabbi Gamliel says we believe her because the cheskas haguf beats out the cheskas mamon. And Rabbi Yeshua says no. She doesn't get the ksuba. He wins. The cheskas mamon, he doesn't have to pay until she brings a proof that it happened afterwards. Says the Gemara. Taima demaisi ha'av raya. So our case sounds mamish like that case. The only time we believe the father, that the father of the girl gets the ksuba, as if he brings a proof that it happened afterwards. Halo maisi avraya. If the father does not bring a proof that it happened afterwards, habal mehemen, the husband is believed. Money, who's the author of this Mishnah? Rabbi Yeshua. Damar lomi pion chayim. That's Rabbi Yeshua. That we don't trust her, and the cheskas mamon does not beat out the cheskas haguf. That the cheskas mamon beats out the cheskas haguf. Say ema seifa, but look in the end of the Mishnah. Nichnas al rishus habal. If she goes into the rishus of the husband, habal tzarech lavi raya. Then the husband has to bring a proof. Time of the ma'isi habal raya. Halo ma'isi raya. Ha'av mehemen. Halo ma'isi habal raya. Ha'av mehemen. Asan the Rabbi Gamliel, Damar Namenis. So it sounds like that in one case we're trusting the Cheskas Aguf, and in one case we're trusting the Cheskas Mamon. So the beginning sounds like Rabbi Yeshua, and the end sounds like Rabbi Gamliel. Answers the Gemara, Ambalazi, you're right. Tavra, Misha Shanazu, Lo Shanazu. You're right. The beginning is Rabbi Yeshua, the beginning of the Mishnah is Rabbi Yeshua, and the end is Rabbi Gamliel. So the Gemara is going to give another answer afterwards. Amar Rav. No. Even the Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Yeshua, have a machlokas whether or not the cheskas mamon. Right? You understand why Rabbi say here the cheskas mamon is with him because the ksuba is with him, but the cheskas aguf is with her. When she was born, she didn't have this mum, so it probably happened later after the erusin. So I'm a Rabbi. Lo tim Rabbi Yeshua lo azavas chazaka deguf agla. Don't say the Rabbi Yeshua only follows the cheskas mamon and never follows the cheskas aguf. Ella. When do we say the Rabbi Shua does not follow Cheskas Aguf? Only if there's a Cheskas Mamon against the Cheskas Aguf. But in the case of where there is no Cheskas Mamon against the Cheskas Aguf, Rabbi Shua does follow Cheskas Aguf in a case where there's no Cheskas Mamon against it. Desanya, where do we see this in the Braisa? In the following case. by Mitzora. By a Mitzora. There's a brisa about a negat saras of the guf. You need two simanim. You need a baharas, and you need two white hairs inside the wound. Im baharas kodem l'seir lavan. If the wound came and then you had the two white hairs, tamid. Im seir lavan kodem baharas. However, if the white hair was there first and then the wound came, tahar. Suffolk. So tamid. So if it's a suffolk, so it's tamid misuffolk. Rabbi Yeshua Omer keha. My keha. What is it? I'm a rabba. Keha means tahar. that is really tar. Why? Because we have a cheskas aguf. The cheskas aguf is that if you're not sure whether the wound came first or the hairs came first, you rely on the cheskas aguf that says, no, the hairs came first, the wound didn't come first, because when she was born, she didn't have the wound, so she had a chazaka aguf. Rava Amar, now going back to the original contradiction, Rava says we can answer the contradiction differently. Resha, where the mumen were found in the rishus of the father, kan nimtzu kan hayu, we assume they happened before the marriage. But seifanami kan nimtzu kan hayu, Rava says you could say since they only discovered the mumen once she was married, so we assume they only came now. Eisvei Abaye, Abaye asked against Rava, nichnas al rishus habal. Habal tzarich lavi raya she'achlo tesaris hayu b'mumen elu v'hayu mekam mechatos achlo tesaris in misha tesaris lo v'amai lema kan imtzu kan hayu. What do you mean he has to bring a proof that they happened beforehand? But maybe they just happen now, right? If he doesn't bring a proof, right, he can only bring achlo tesaris in. That's when he's believed. But if he only has a proof that they happened after Erusin, then he's not believed. What do you mean? Why don't we assume that they happened from before? Kan nimtzu, kan hayu. Even from beforehand, meaning if the father brings a proof that she had the moment after Erusin, we don't assume that they happened beforehand. Why not? Why don't you say that we assume kan nimtzu, kan hayu? Says him with the obvious answer. I'm a lay. No, we have a competing chazaka, which means that if the father only brings a proof that the moment happened after Erusin, so we have another chazaka that if he wouldn't have married her, the husband would not have married her if he didn't check her out. V'hai rav nefayisu, and if the mum happened beforehand, so then he saw it and he agreed to it. Says Gemara, ihachi achlo tesaris nami. So why don't you say the same thing, even if the mum happened before the erusin, so the husband should be chayev to pay the ksuba because for sure he checked her out. Elaminan chazaka ino de mafayis b'mumin. No, we have another chazaka, a chazaka that a person mumin that he did not know about before erusin, he's not going to. He's not okay with them. So hachanami chazaka in adam mafayis b'mumin. So even if the edim said that the mumin was found after erusin, why don't we say a chazaka person wouldn't want the mumin? So Gemara says obviously the obvious answer is it's two against one. Ella mishenis arsa says Rava. No, the reason the husband is not believed when we found the mumin after erusin mishem deka tarte chazaka. There you have two chazakas. First of all, you assume you only found the mum after erusin. So first of all, we assume she didn't have the mum before erusin, because when she was born, she didn't have these mumen. So she has a chazaka de guf. If you only found the mumen after erusin, you assume before erusin she didn't have it. And that's one chazaka. And a second chazaka you have also. And the second one is, even if you had the mumen before erusin, Chazaka ainot m'shozim because I'm kin boko. He would have checked it out if he accepted it. And therefore, v'hai rav and afayisu. He probably saw them and he agreed to them. My amrit, what? You have a chazaka in the other direction. Chazaka ainot m'fayis b'mumin. That really a person would not want the mum. That's only one. Havi chada b'mokom tarte. Chada b'mokom tarte lo amrinon. One chazaka against two, we don't say. However, if the edim found the mumin before erusin, Achelot Tesaris, So then, so you lose the chazak of the guf because the Edom testified that the mum was on before Eris, and she doesn't have the chazak of the guf. What do you have a chazak that made, that he checked her out? V'hai rov and a faisu? Other rabbi, you have the other chazak. Chazak in adam faisu b'mumin. Hamin mumin al cheskaso. So we have the other chazak going the other direction. And finally, one more line. Ravash yamar, reisha mana la'aba biyadcha, the Sefer Mana Lib. We'll come back to Ravashi tomorrow. We'll come back to Ravashi. Okay. Everyone should have a wonderful day. We'll come back to Ravashi tomorrow. Tomorrow I'm going to give the regular daf. Yeah, I'm going to daven at the early minyan tomorrow. I'm going to daven at the 6 o'clock minyan. I'm going to give the 7:05 daf, then I'm going to go to the bris, and then I'm going to go to yeshiva.